I know earlier this week we had Eric Reynolds on, better known as Keto 5-0.
Keto
By the way,
5-0.
that was, you don't even get along with the 5-0 too much, and that was a great interview.
Yeah, you know what? He was a cool cat, that's for sure.
Cool dude.
Definitely feel privileged to have even been in on that conversation with him. Feels like we got some scoop, some back behind the scenes scoop, a little of
Yeah.
us, you know, and
It's
shout
cool,
out to
man. I
him,
mean,
dude.
everything from him getting shot to his mom to finding his brother to almost being on The Amazing Race. I thought it was a great interview, man. I really enjoyed talking to him. And it's cool because we talked for about an hour and a half, and we could have kept going if we didn't have things to
Yes.
do, you know? And that's what I love. And not to swing from, the fucking cojones of
Keto's.
Covino and Rich, but that's what is so fucking dope about Covino and Rich is that we didn't, I've interacted with him, a handful of times through social media, liking posts and shit, but nothing like you could, Doug, what other show can you just sit down with somebody that you've never
Right.
met and have an hour and a
Well,
half, 2 hour long conversation,
I know where I can do that and where my skill set comes from because I think I was telling you the other day, one of the receivers at Walmart that I talked to, her son just recently moved to Fresno and they were watching the Fresno State Bulldog game in Spanish, the first like tele, you know, it was live televised in Spanish. And the announcer said, she told me the announcer said that Fresno has 135 different dialects.
Damn.
And
How
so
many Alive Alex do they have?
I don't know, none, because none.
Okay.
But with that being said, I think a lot of people that were extra multicultural from Fresno because of that. I mean, obviously, you know, even the nerdy white school probably had 30 or 40 of them in there. You know what I'm
Yeah,
saying?
yeah.
And so, and then if you start going to like the West Side and the East Side, you got them all. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
with that being said, I think anyone that's seasoned like that, like myself in Fresno, E40 got a lyric and he says, I can go to any hood in the world and fit right in. And I think that skill set helped me understand and respect, and as a man, dude, he said a lot of stuff about getting shot, what he went through and how he overcame it. Not only did he overcome it the right way, but he also helps others now. Like you got to respect someone like that, man. Ultimate respect to that dude.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's cool for him to and helping people in all kinds of aspects. He talked about helping people with their PTSD from being cops or military or whatever, and also helping people like with their ketogenic diet and stuff. So I mean, just helping people in general,
And his
the other
energy felt genuine. It did. He seemed like, in the conversation, I felt like I'd known him for years,
yeah.
and it nothing seemed forced or like he just had really, really good energy, and he just seemed like a really good dude, man. Got good vibes. So shout out to that dude, and thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah, no, I thought it was really cool, man. I had a good time. But as far as this week that happened in the world of Covino and Rich, everything from have smut they said to the normal Patreon to
Have smut, they
overpromise,
said.
there was so much that went on. So where do you want to get started?
I'm gonna say that I think have smut, they said, is smuttier than even the Maxim days. And I'm gonna bet that
Really?
state, yes. They're bro, on there, Nicole knew Rich got a blowy. He had a glow or something. I don't know if you heard that or not, but he had a glow. And
Yeah.
it came out that Sarah was excited because they had to, I don't know if you'd heard it from before. But Sarah was gets excited when Rich does stuff for the kids, like it turns her on. That was on like a different episode. Well, now I guess Rich said he took the kids. What did he say? He took them to the supermarket. He and then he took them to ice for ice cream. And then when he got home, he fucking made chicken cutlets. Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess Sarah got all worked up and gave him a blowy for it. And him and Nicole were talking about it. The fact that his glow and his energy let his female co-host in on that he was sexually, rewarded of some kind, like he had just had a sexual release. Like that
Yeah.
was kind of a weird dynamic between the two. Like, I wouldn't like it if my buddy said that, hey, bro, did you just fuck your old lady? Like, I wouldn't want, that's weird. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
And
anyways, and then
then
they,
they, on that same episode, they even talked about, I don't know if you're going to bring it up, about what they talked about making. That's a food that they used to eat on the East Coast and you could make it on
please
the
bring it
beach.
up. I was going to
That
say that, but yes, it's going to sound better you telling it.
Ah, gross. I don't want to tell it, dog. That's how smutty it is.
They said on the East Coast, I think Nicole asked Rich if he'd ever given a girl a chicken cutlet. What is a chicken cutlet, you ask?
Yes, I was going to ask, what is that?
According to Have Smut, they said, a chicken cutlet is when the dude jizzes on a chick and either puts sand on her or rolls her in the sand. I don't want to be misquoted, but somehow there's mango and sand, and that's your chicken cutlet. Or you know what, Nicole and Rich? I'm going to call it for you two a chicken smutlet.
There we go. A chicken smutlet. Oh, yeah. Man.
They were talking chicken smutlets. They have smut, they said.
You know, it's funny that you say that, though, about you think it's worse than the Maxim days. Because, honestly, the other day I was driving home from work. And it gives me about, you know, 25, 30 minutes to think. So I'm right there, I'm thinking. And I was like, you know what? I feel like this show is dirtier than Covino and Rich used to be when they were young. And I was like, nah, I can't say that because I didn't listen back then. You know, I didn't start listening until like 2012.
I'll explain.
So I was like, I don't know. So for you to say that, it's kind of confirming what I was thinking.
Well, let me convince you of why I'm right. Okay.
All right.
Because like Covino stated out, which he is absolutely 100% right, and I'm going to back him up, the shit he did on Maxim in his 20s, what did Covino say why he did it? Because he was supposed to do it. He was there in that position in what? His 20s, right?
To
be smutty. End? Remember when he was saying that he didn't like them saying, those chicks saying that shit on cable, on The View of what they were saying. Yeah. But then they were trying to bring up shit that he said on the radio back when he was in his 20s. And his response was, that's what I was supposed to be doing at that time. Because look at my age, right? Yeah. He's absolutely right. So I think Have Smut, they said, is 5 times to 10 times worse because now there's kids involved and there's marriages and that sexual energy is obvious. And I think it's worse than when Rich is single or in and out of relationships talking about blowies with random chicks at the fucking Maxim party.
Yeah.
Because the consequences are different. What's going to happen? Kristen, the girl he was seeing at the time, refuses to fucking be with him anymore because of his job. Like, that was the consequence. And then he goes and finds someone else. Then he goes and finds a Hooters chick. So the consequences back then for his smut, that he didn't have any consequences. He could be as smutty as he wants. But with some of the stuff that they say on Have Smut, they said, I don't know. I see a chemistry myself. I don't want to put too much out there, but I don't know how Sarah's comfortable with the exchanges they have on Have Smut, they said. And I think it's smuttier because there's more at risk. If one day she's not comfortable with it anymore, he has to stop because it could threaten his relationship.
Do you think he would, though? Because Rich is very me, me, me.
I think if Sarah left with the kids and didn't come home for like 3 to 6 months, I think Rich would do whatever it took to get her back.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that meant him quit taking gummies and quit playing softball. And I think, and that's not a knock on Rich, because I think that any man that would lose a child or something or a family like that, you should try. I mean, within reason, like you don't want to humiliate yourself or do like, you know, make her fucking embarrass you or nothing. But like with any compromise within reason, you would have to.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
So, yeah, I think that if she gave him an ultimatum, he'd stop. But again, it's smut. There's no kids involved. Like when she says, did you just get a blowjob? What? And how dare you have kids in your podcast title when you're asking the co-host if he just got a blowjob? And then he did and tells you it's because he took care of the kids and made chicken smutlets.
You know what, though? But you know what I will say is that, yeah, it's dirty. Yeah, that's kind of misleading with have kids, they said. But they have been, if not at the top, in the top like 3 podcasts for like family entertainment or whatever the hell it is.
Do you miss one? Or do you listen to them all?
I pretty much listen to them all. There was a stretch where I went, what's up?
I listen to them all too. And I'm a pretty smutty motherfucker myself. And I actually like them. I mean, I'm out here giving them the business, but I listen to it because I'm intrigued and I like it.
Well, that's part of it. Maybe why they're doing it. Maybe they know they're being super gross. And but they know people aren't turning it off. You know, I feel like even if it wasn't as smutty, because I don't feel like it's always been that bad. You know, I used to listen.
It must be like smut month or something, because this month they've been on a roll.
I took a gap break for maybe like 6 months, and then I got back on it and started listening. I would listen here and there in between, but it's been really raunchy lately. But maybe they're at the top of the charts and they know what the raunch is, just like all the Taylor Swift shit. They know that's going to put you at the top of the list. Let's keep talking about it, you know?
What do they think? They're 50 Shades of Grey or what?
Maybe 50 Shades of
Davis. 50 Shades of Davis, because it's not what you're looking at.
Yeah. All Vilchisky, you know?
Yeah. So anyways, what about Rich's fake sports picks? Did you hear him confess that in past times he'd give picks and then change his own bet before the bet?
No, I listened, because you had mentioned that to me. You're like, what's up with fucking Lie Davis and or whatever the fuck, when you texted me or messaged me or something. And so I went back.
He's like that.
He
should be arrested like that guy from fucking BTX coin or whatever. He's fucking full of shit.
I couldn't find where. So what happened? So he mentioned he put out picks for everybody to go and put their hard earned money on. And then he said, haha, just kidding. I'm going to put better bets or what?
He vaguely admitted in the past he had changed his own bet before the bet, but now he's sticking to it.
Now, right?
I think if he's going to give NFL picks and that's really what he's going to do, and people are going to tune into the, you know, the Overpromise podcast, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are tuning in just for the picks. There's people out there that, you know, want to hear opinion on the picks. I think they should move it from Thursday to like Saturday, because that way the picks are for tomorrow. So Rich don't have half a week to change his mind when there's an injury or the point change or the weather or something like that. Like if he's going to do picks like that and people are going to tune in, they should do that shit on like Saturday mid afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It could even be,
or have another podcast for that.
Or if he still is like by his picks, right? And he's like, no, these are the ones I want. Why don't they clip that portion and put it out as like a TikTok or something, you know?
So, he picks up mangoo, throws it on girls and tops it with sand and calls it a chicken smutlet.
That is pretty gross. Yeah. Yeah.
Wednesday show, Covino was saying that he was still friends with John from kindergarten. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
And do you have friends that you've still been with? I mean, we've talked about it before. What's your oldest good homie? Maybe he's not your best friend, maybe he's no Luis, but what's your best homie from and how long have you, you know, like the friend you've been the longest friendship with? He might not be your best friend, but you're still hella cool.
I would probably say Johnny and his sister. Well, okay, so his little brother's like 25 or some shit, right? I forget how old he is. When we were young, I met Johnny, we were in second grade. His sister was in kindergarten and his little brother wasn't even born yet. And so we've been, you know, friends for the last fucking like 30 years, like no lie, like 28 years or some shit, you know? And right. So that's probably going back to my oldest. After that, I have a handful of friends from like maybe sixth grade up that I'm pretty close with still.
Damn, yeah, me too. I think sixth grade up would be at least Mito, Tip Dog, Columbo, seventh grade, and I think Goldie was ninth grade.
Yeah.
Even B. Riles was like 10th grade. Stickman, I've known Stickman. Stickman, here's a little fun fact about Stickman. Across the street from me, Diagonal, was the hot mom that everybody wanted to stab, bro. Her name was Kim Stoner. Oh, bro, she was like in her like early, mid-30s. Like, I don't know when she had her kid. Maybe she had her like, his name was Jeff Stoner. That was his name. And that was Stickman's homie. Well, Stoner had the basketball court. So we'd go over there and, you know, I started kicking with those cats. But Stoner had the hot mom and Stickman was like Stoner's best friend. So he was always at Stoner's house. And that was shit. We're talking fourth, fifth grade for sure.
Yeah, dog, that's when you start to get fucking have kids, they said, status, you know?
Oh,
like
bro,
when you're fourth,
I
fifth grade.
I wanted her to have my kid at 15. I used to dream. Oh, I better cut it out. But yeah, I used to dream about it. I think everyone in the neighborhood did. They dreamed of sleeping with Stoner's mom.
That's crazy, man.
you didn't have a mom like that?
I don't think so. Like, I really don't.
She was hot and she was cool too. And we were the rowdy fuckers because I was a little bit older. Like I was one or two years older than Stoner, and me and Stickman might be the same age, or I might be 1 year older, but
yeah.
All my friends wanted to stab it. Fuck, every friend I had wanted to be up in Stoner's mom.
Yeah, Doug, I'm trying to think of, like, I don't really remember, like, my friend's mom's, like,
and I never stayed the night over there.
Yeah, I wonder why. They're like, no, you don't get to stay the night.
Hey, she was like my neighborhood's version. I live in a little cul-de-sac, right? Four houses around.
Of like Stifler's mom or what?
Hey, like, nah, she was like Miss Parker on Friday.
Oh, hey, Miss Parker.
Hey, Kim. You know, we're just over there looking at shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She was like Miss Parker in my neighborhood.
Man, yeah, I don't think so, Doug. I don't think, like, I mean, like, I had friends' moms that weren't, like, they were, like, attractive, like, older ladies, even if they were kind of young, but they weren't, like, young and bad. It was, like, they were just, like, I mean, decent-looking women, like, but it wasn't, like, I don't know. To me, like, I wish I had, like, a couple of friends who was like, damn, that mom's bad, but I don't know.
She was a solid, like, 8, 8 and a half when we were little kids. So when we were little kids, she was probably, like, a 13 to us.
I remember there was a teacher, though. We were in second grade.
Oh, and we got a teacher.
She was like a student teacher, whatever. Yeah, the fuck, you know.
If Tip Dog's in the other room, if he was down there, come on, I'd let him come tell the story about Miss Derek. But please continue. I did not mean to interrupt, and I'd love to hear your story.
Okay, so the one we had, dog, and if I find the picture, because I have a gang of old pictures, her name was Miss Lopez, right? And Doug, I remember this is like going back like not even 5 years ago, maybe like three was COVID, maybe four or five years ago. Uh-huh. We used to, they weren't the projects, right? But we used to go by, when we would pass these fucking like housing, I don't even know if they were housing, they were fucking some ghetto ass apartments, right?
Right.
Johnny was like, hey, you know, Ms. Lopez is still out there? And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, because I think we were talking about her or some shit. We're like, yeah, remember, that was crazy. You know, she was bad. We were young. We thought she was all bad. And he was like, yeah, she kicks it outside of those apartments. And I was like, what? Yeah, she lives in those apartments. And she's she kicks it on the porch outside like hood motherfuckers do, right? And we drove by and, dog, she was all busted, right? I was like, oh, fuck.
No, that's dope. That Miss Lopez, fuck, she broke your heart. We had Miss Derek. She was a student teacher. Tip Dog, I think, was fifth grade, and I was sixth grade. She used to wear leather. She wore this leather jacket, and we would just be like, and we would just all, yeah, it was wild. Yeah. Miss Derek. She was
She was like,
if
a little,
I remember,
like,
right, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. And I wish Tip Dog would come on this show to validate me. But if I remember right, one of the homies in our classroom ran up and grabbed her ass.
Really?
I swear to you, someone grabbed her ass. That happened. I don't want to throw nobody under the bus. And that was a long time ago, so I don't want to fucking make up stories. But someone grabbed her ass. I'll try to get validation on here ASAP.
And was she like curvy? Was she skinny? Was she like...
She was like... She had like a Britney Spears type of frame. She wasn't like, super thick.
Like,
she was short.
Now or like early 2000s?
Probably like now. Like where she was like... I don't think she was super. I think she was just like normal, bro.
Normal. Because Miss Lopez, you know, she was on the, she was skinny, like fucking hell
you're
skinny.
Like, hey, you're asking me to blow off dust and cobwebs into the memory bank here to dig up those pictures that I've got buried away.
Yeah. Miss Lopez was skinny, but she was Latina. So she had curves, you know, even though she was super thin. Yeah. I'll fucking, that's all. I was wondering. Because you think about it, when you're a kid, I mean, it's crazy when it's like you have a general consensus that all the boys think she's hot, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So there was something about her, dog. Even if she didn't have the bang in his body, maybe she was like really pretty, or there was something about that. All you kids were like, damn, she's fucking hot,
hey,
you know?
Everyone in the class in sixth grade barely learned to strike wood fucking like 3 years earlier. So now they're wood fucking, hey, bro, all the wood's fucking striking for no reason.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of wood, have you seen the Kevin James memes that they've been putting everywhere where they're putting like his fucking mug on all kinds of shit? So there's this Kevin James meme that's been going around for a couple of weeks where it's a picture from the King of Queens, right?
Right.
And it's like a promo picture. And the fucking picture has gone viral. All kinds of people are putting that little meme. But what I think would be fucking dope is to grab his head off of that meme and put it on wood. Take one viral meme, another viral meme, and smash those motherfuckers up. And then have that go viral. I think that'd be dope.
That probably would be dope.
Who knows? I don't know.
Why don't you do it?
I don't know, because then I got to have a picture of wood on my phone and be like, ah, fuck.
Oh, fuck.
I don't know. But what else? Covino had plumbing problems.
Remember when everyone sent you that fucking text message of wood?
Yeah.
Hey, Scandinavian sleep. What have you used the method? Have you ever used the method? Yeah.
I love that method. Because, dog,
yeah,
never fails. My ass ends up fucking getting short-ended. And explain to people what the Scandinavian sleep method is real quick.
I believe it's when you and your partner each have your own separate blanket.
Yeah, that's what it is. That was easy. So, dog, with my shit, I'll be fucking like, damn, man, like I'm fucking cold. I'm having to tug the fucking blanket. Then I get bitched at for tugging it when I'm like, hey, what the fuck, man? I have no blanket. Oh, fuck. Fine. That's all I hear. Right. And I'm like, what the fuck, bitch? Are you crazy? Man, are you crazy? Right. And I'm like, I'm over here trying to fucking just get some blanket. So, dog, yeah. Fucking the biggest, easiest way to get rid of that. Boom. But get your own blanket. And since it's only you can be rolled up in that motherfucker. Oh, yeah.
Well, you got a king size mattress. It's like you're on an island out there.
For sure. I like it.
No, I like it. And not only that, it ain't going to stop you from fucking boo-boo time. I mean, you're still gonna get your boo-boo, no problem.
Because even if, yeah, if you know you want to go boo-boo time, you're like, you know what? I'm tired of this fucking Scandinavian sleeping. You know what? Let's go back to old school, you know?
No, I don't even need to go back to old school, because once we done and we both reach what we need to reach, you can go back to your cover, I'll go back to mine.
Yeah,
and
that's your excuse, you know?
And even if you want to snuggle, I can snuggle behind your cover. Like, that don't offend me. We just had fucking grown-up time, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'll pull that fucker off for 4 more hours.
4 more hours. All
right. We'll wake up in the morning. I'll just initiate again. I'm good. That blanket ain't going to stop me. You know what I mean? I'm good. I ain't scared of I ain't scared of no fucking throw blanket.
That blanket going to stop you, huh? Like anything has ever stopped you in your life, and a blanket now is all of a sudden going to stop you. Come on now.
She can tell you no, but the blanket can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. All right.
I
was going to say real quick, I got to shout out fucking Monsi Bolaños, who was helping out Covino and Rich and shit, like doing some of the little segments and shit. Since she got her own show on Fox Sports, I don't think she's with them anymore. But she's following us on Twitter. Out of nowhere, she just started following us. And I was like, oh, so shout out to Monsi, dog.
Man, that's good. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? If we're going to do that, then I'm going to shout out Mike Tyson for his Sonoran Toad.
Sonoran Toad? What the hell is that? Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, it's Mike Tyson. He calls it, I don't know, it's Sonoran Toad. And
I didn't know if that was like some kind of rub or what, but that ain't no rub.
No, Mike came through. I don't even know. You can edit this part out in the future if you want, but Mike came through. Sonoran Toad.
Eat it.
Yeah, you're out of your mind.
Why? You think it'd be crazy or what?
And not only that, bro, let me just make something clear right now. I'm the dumbass talking other people into dumb shit. I don't usually get talked into dumb shit. I'm on that side of it. Yeah, I'm on the wrong side.
I just dropped
the
eat it. Come on.
Yeah,
eat
now,
it
so we had to do it to somebody else. See, now that's why we make a good team, because if there was a third wheel, we could talk them into anything.
Yeah. No, you know what? So yeah, my homie Luis.
Don't be a puss.
Exactly. Luis and fucking his cousin Ralph, right? Two of my best friends.
Okay.
They knew, dog, if they wanted me to get something, be like, oh, nah, he won't do it. He won't do it, dog. Nah, he won't do it. He's not fucking down. And dog, they knew I was.
And how many times have you heard that in your life? He's not down.
Dog, I'd be like, what?
Fool, you ain't down, fool.
Dog, I'm fucking down, right? Nah, he's not down. Hey, Ralph, this is Luis. Ralph, hey, just don't even fucking bother, dog. You know he's not down. Ralph, all right, you're right. He ain't down. Next thing you know, dog, I'm doing something fucking stupid, you know?
That's great.
Nah, dog, their favorite joke back in the day was they were like, hey, Daniel's fucking butthole is so loose. When he farts, it sounds like this. They thought that was the funniest shit ever. And it used to piss me off, because it was like, ah, yeah, it was kind of funny. But the way they would laugh, dog. Like, I wish I could think about the funniest grabbing your belly you've ever laughed in your life. They would laugh like that. And then fucking the other one would do it. And they would laugh all over again. Those motherfuckers. So fuck you guys. All right. Go ahead, Kukui. Carry on.
So Rich, not being able to let anybody speak, they had a Handsome Gabe on, and someone asked Handsome Gabe a question, and he was about two or three sentences into his answer, and Rich fucking started talking about the fucking airports and good ones and bad ones and fucking, and then they finally said, okay, Handsome Gabe, and they went back to him. But it's like, bro, they also talked about 65% of our ads are fucking for medical pharmaceuticals, right? If you can't shut the fuck up to let someone talk and give a story and answer to a question you asked them, you might want to look into a couple of those pills to chill your ass out. That means you got way too much energy.
Or how about him having one of his gummies before the show?
Right.
Chill him out a little bit. Not
even half a gummy.
Whatever. Chill him out.
Whatever amount he eats to go to sleep, eat half of that before you come on the show.
I think we need to have a gummy Rich show.
We got to have a Rich interruption intervention.
Yeah, I think we do.
He can't let no one speak.
Yeah. What was I going to? Damn, there was something I was going to talk about. Fuck, I can't remember. So you can carry on.
So I'm done with the smut after this one. But I got a little more smut. Is Rich the smut master? Have you ever met a smuttier person than Richie D? Is he the king of smut? Does he teach Smutonomics 101? Was he born in Smutville? Does he have a weird gaming console called a Smutindo? Does he have a
fucking dumb?
Is his haircut a smut cut? Does he eat chicken smutlets? I hope not, after he described what they were. I hope he doesn't eat chicken smutlets, but is his baseball team the New York Smuts? Is the gym that he goes to work out called Smut Fitness?
I have no idea.
He's a smutty dude.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though?
I'm smutty. There's credibility to what I'm saying because I'm a little smutty, too. So I know smut when I see it.
Yeah, just is that a fucking what do they call it? Never mind, dog. I can't think where shit today, so my bad. Go ahead.
It was a cleansing. I mean, I'm healing. This is my therapy. This helps me feel better about my smutty self.
All right.
So Rich also was talking on about birthdays in class and bringing cupcakes and shit like that. Did you catch that?
Cupcakes, I don't remember, but buying shit off of the Amazon wish list, I do for a birthday. So maybe I missed part of that conversation.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Did you ever bring, or your mom bring cupcakes when you were like first, second, third grade, sixth grade?
I think up until like third grade, at least, probably, yeah.
Did you go longer than grade?
I don't think so.
You know what I started doing at about third grade?
Huh.
This thing right here, my dad always told me it wasn't just for growing hair. And so when it's your birthday, you always get at least a little bit of what?
Money.
I was taking candy that day, boy. I was taking baseball cards and candy and fucking all kind of shit. I was hitting the kid up with the birthday, see if I could sell him some shit because I knew he had money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I usually sold candy anyways, but you would just go to him first.
Yeah.
Or her.
Yeah. You're trying to hustle some little girl, dog.
No little fourth grader, if they got the money, is going to turn down buying a bag of Big League Chew, which is back then like a dollar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think what the girls always fuck with, Tic Tacs.
Yeah.
Or certs. Or
lifesavers. You know what? The girls fucked with the flavored Tic Tacs. I feel like if the guys ever had them, they were just the white ones.
Right. And the girls had them fruity ass ones.
Yeah. Orange and shit. The nasty ass ones.
Yeah, no, man. I used to, I was scandalous too. I got admission. This is when I was young and I didn't know better. But I remember going to Clark Intermediate when I was in middle school. And I remember getting, remember baseball cards? They used to come in wax packs?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
I would open the fucking pack.
Almost look like fucking almost look like parchment paper and shit.
Yeah, yeah. And they just white sealed them together. Well, I learned a trick from someone. I don't remember who I learned it from, but I learned a trick that you could fucking, if you just opened them gently, they would come open, and I would take the good cards out and replace them with commons, and then I would seal the fucking packs back with the iron, and you could never tell. And I go take them selling them to school, bro. And after like 2 months, everyone's like, how come I never get a star card in any of your packs? I buy a pack every day, and I never get the King Griffey. I never get the Mark McGuire. I never get the Roger Clemens. Oh, what the fuck's going on? And then I had to move to a new hustle. I think then I started selling condoms.
Oh, my goodness.
Because remember in eighth grade, you wanted to have a condom just to act like you
just could to have it? Yeah, yep. Of course. I still put one in my wallet sometimes just, you know, so people think I'm fucking, you know?
You know what I used to have that I could never find that was hella dope is there was like a, it was a super thin, like a sheepskin one. And it was in the form of a fucking little credit card. And it was like, it was kind of thick, but it wasn't, it was like two or three stacked together, but it had it was protected. So you could put it in your wallet and sit on it. It wouldn't fuck it up. And then that way it's not all dingy when you pull it out and you're like, fuck, I hope this thing's still good. Cause the corners are fucking rolled up and shit. And you're wondering if anything poked it.
Doug, have you ever seen fucking condoms at the dollar store?
Yes, I have. And if you buy one of those, a pregnancy test or a weed fucking drug test, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I'm like, dog, I wonder how many and what do the cashiers think, dog, when somebody walks up with one of those? Like, oh, this motherfucker's stupid. That's what I would be thinking, dog.
Hey, they walk up with a weed fucking drug test, a pregnancy test, a frozen fucking cheeseburger from the back, and a Teddy's fucking cream soda in the bottle, bro.
With some Tommy's fucking chili cheese fries.
And a Sharpie so they can paint their eyebrows later.
Oh.
And a mirror. Fuck it. They got a mirror too.
Oh, that's fucking funny.
You see that guy on TikTok where he shows his meals that he made by spending like $8 at the dollar store?
Nah.
There's this guy, he's a brother, and he's on TikTok, and he'll walk in, he'll show his little film himself going like, I got mac and cheese. And then I got weenies for my mac and cheese. And then he'll go and get, I got garlic bread. And then I got canned veggies. And like, he'll be like, today's total $7.28, right? And he'll go home and like, he'll get the little frozen hamburger patties. He'll get lunch meat, whatever. He'll go home and flip that shit. He's like, today's meal, $7.28. And boom, it's enough for two. And it's all about the Dollar Tree.
Yeah. Damn, I don't Hella know if dope. I've ever bought shit from the Dollar Tree, like food.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to be a segment.
For real?
When everything was a dollar, I used to buy all my garlic cheese bread there. Fuck, why pay $2 or $3 at the grocery store when you can get it for a dollar? I used to buy frozen strawberries. If you're making smoothies, their frozen fucking fruit is just as good as the grocery store, and it's a dollar instead of like $3. Right now they went up a little bit, but you can go get the Nathan's hot dogs from New York. They sell the onion rings for like $3 there.
Damn, I want sausage.
I never used to use anybody sell Larry the Cable Guy chicken fry batter, and that shit was fire. You fucking roll your chicken and follow the instructions on the Larry the Cable Guy chicken batter instruction, you got bomb ass fried chicken.
All right. Well, I'm learning something. You know what? That's one thing I feel like El Cucuy is like the Mr. Feeny of this show, because there's always a lesson that I learn. You know, I always get some kind of life advice from Boy Meets World, Mr. Feeny.
Who's that? Who are you comparing me to?
Shut the fuck up, dog. Don't tell me you don't know who Mr. Feeny is.
Bro, do I bullshit you?
For real, dog? You don't know who Mr.
I just know Topanga and the goofy white kid with the brown haircut. That's all I know. I never watched
this
shit.
Yeah, but they're old ass teacher.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, but you don't know the character, Doug?
How would I know the character is something that I know and I know, and I didn't have kids yet that watched. I don't know the character
from pop culture, just from life. Just from a commercial or
I don't know the character of Star Trek movies. I can't name you all the fucking characters of Harry Potter.
All of them, but aren't some of them?
I can name one, Hermione and fucking Harry.
See, there's a couple.
That's it. I can't name Dr. Spock.
Yeah, there's another one. Fucking, what's his name? Fucking,
bro,
guy.
My ex, Christy, was in complete fucking shock because I didn't even watch The Lion King till I was in my 30s.
Well, let me see. Serious. 8, 9, 10.
Listen, 10, okay. 10. Let me.
All right, I was 6 when it came out, so I watched it when it came out.
Let me make it make sense. out of all the shit that I've told you about the shit we did growing up and who I kicked it with and the shit we were into, the music we were into, the movies we were watching at the time, the shit we were doing, does it surprise you?
No, it don't surprise me.
What the fuck am I going to watch The Lion King for?
No, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, it really doesn't, but it's funny that it surprised her. I'm like, you would think she would know that that
was your... But Mr. Feeny surprises you?
Yeah, it does.
Why? That was your jam, huh? You got something for that show.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite shows. But
yeah, see?
But I'm just that like, damn. Sense. But I'm just like, how the f- to me, and see, maybe it was in my 90s algorithm, right, of life, you know, since I did watch the show and shit. But I feel like...
But you just like- said the key word. I started hustling and smoking trees when I was 14, and that was 1991.
Okay.
So that's where I was at, you know, and like, and we would get all like, even like, and I'll get, okay. So I had one buddy, I was exposed to The Doors and I was exposed to Pink Floyd because Ryan Davenport, shout out Dav, his parents didn't really give a fuck what we did. And we would like take acid and mushrooms and we would go to his house and his mom, if we were being too loud, they'd open the door, Ryan, shut the fuck up. Boom. And shut the door. But like, he would have, it'd be 3-4 AM and there's five of us in there and they're smoking cigarettes, we're smoking weed. I mean, bro, it is fucking cloudy and their mom busting the door, Max busting the door at 4 AM. But that's my only exposure to that. I was exposed to the Grateful Dead because Bones used to listen to it. Chris Henson, Matt Fields, Squigs, Andy LeBecki.
You were friends with Chris Hansen, the one who Henson. Catches those creeps?
No, Chris Henson is fucking generic stepbrother. He had a square back and he used to drive me around and shit. He was hella cool.
But, was Chris's dad named Jim?
No, it was Jim.
Jim, okay, Jim Henson. I thought that's who it was. All right, I remember.
No, but anyway, so I'm exposed to certain shit, but no, I've never known anybody.
See, it just baffles me that didn't even like you don't even know who the fuck that is. You know, like
well, she's that's too young for me too, bro. I wasn't interested in that little girl.
Hold on,
there was nothing about that show that was going to draw me in. You know what I mean?
Hey,
do you find it creepy? Any adults that like to go to Disneyland who don't have children of their own?
No.
Really?
Unusual, peculiar, maybe, but not like I don't think they're creeps or nothing.
Because I'd like some feedback from other parents out there, but... Most parents that have kids that are forced to go through that shit certain amount of times, they're so fucking happy when they never have to go back.
Yeah. But some people dig it. Like my sister, she don't have any kids and she goes like once a fucking year. She fucking really? Loves that place. Yeah. She ever since she was a kid, she fucking loved going to that place.
Which leads my me wife to another question.
Fucking loves that place. I mean, it's cool.
Which leads me
to
another question, bro. And before I state it, I'll kind of give you some history on me. Is I was like, any kids that I was a role model to or I was around, I tried to do shit I thought they would think is fun. I didn't go watch fucking Harry Potter because they're watching Harry Potter. You fucking kids can go be fucking kids with other kids and watch that kid shit with kids like yourself. We're going to play in the arcade and we're going to play catching football. We're going to go shoot baskets. You know what I mean? Show me your best fucking overhand pitch. You know, I'm going to do shit like that. So, like, that's where I'm kind of, like, confused, too, kind of with Spot and his Harry Potter knowledge. Like, my pops liked Harry Potter because he would do anything that my daughter did, and he was interested in anything so he could spend time with her, and he loved to read. So he would buy those books, and he would read those books. And so that's how he liked Harry Potter, and I can understand that. But that was for his granddaughter. I didn't have to do that because Pops was doing it. It was kind of their fucking thing. And I'm out of this Harry Potter bullshit. Like that shit don't fall on me. My Pops was more than happy to do it. He got off on the books, Lord of the Rings, all that shit. It was their deal. But how, if you don't have kids, are you watching that stuff about wizards and warlocks? And it's like a blend between fake cartoons and like a play. It's all fake shit. Like it's not real. You kind of play along when you have kids and, you know, you don't, it's like, I get it playing along as a parent because most parents play along with the Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, and Santa Claus. But why are you playing along with that stuff?
I don't know.
You know, and that doesn't mean you got to be the hater and jump in. It's not, it's like when my daughter came home.
I'm trying to think, like, I don't know. I don't know.
Because let me explain this too. It's not like when my daughter came home from spending time with my dad and them having their moment and hanging out and bonding that I'm like, you know, that shit's fake, right? Like, I let her still have her moment. You know, it's just not for me. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I guess the only thing, like Harry Potter, that kind of shit, I'm thinking if you're in that world of like fantasy and shit, like I didn't, and I'm not saying that.
Is there a therapeutic escape?
Well, it could be, because I don't think it's weird just because he's an adult and they're mostly children in the movie, right, or whatever, right? Because even as an adult, shit like Game of Thrones and shit fucking never interests me, because lions and dragons and fucking bears, right. Oh my, and shit. Like, to me, that's fucking stupid, right?
Right, me too.
So I'm like, maybe if somebody...
We talked about something like that, and Covino pointed out on his show, and I still had the recording of, that we talked about True Blood, and once it started talking about shapeshifters and fucking werewolves, we tuned out.
Mm-hmm. And I don't
like that kind of shit. You're crossing a boundary. It's not even believable anymore.
And you know what, though? But I think the same thing goes, like, for me with, like that's why I prefer like a suspense movie, you know, mm-hmm. something that could really happen. Somebody broke in their house, they're looking for a killer, whatever the fuck, over like a gory horror movie, because to me that's like, oh, that's fucking silly, kind of, you know. I want something that I feel like could really happen in real life, right? So anything like kind of not like that's why I don't like superhero shit. I'm like, it's just silly to me.
I'm writing down my thought as you speak, and I'm listening to you speak, and I'm writing down my thoughts. So when you're done, I'm going to chime in, but it's along those lines, and I probably didn't have to write it down.
Yeah, but for somebody that does enjoy Game of Thrones, fantasy type of shit, Marvel shit, that super fictional shit, maybe they dig it. I mean, maybe they dig. It doesn't matter that they're Harry Potter's a child. It doesn't matter to them. They're thinking, I'm in that world. I'm in, oh, fucking wizards and fucking aprons or whatever the fuck turns shit into magic. I don't fucking know.
Right.
Maybe that's their shit.
Well, that brings me to my new theory and something I want to establish right here on the after show, but later.
What up?
My line for that type of material and any type of entertainment, for the most part, is going to be WWE. Okay, that's the example I'm going to give here on this show. If you start to bullshit me any more than that, I'm out.
Yeah, but
you
want to
make a fake movie? You want to make a fake movie about a fake murderer or whatnot, but it's all in the name of showbiz? I'll watch it. You want to do a movie about Tupac and highlight certain or the winning time? It's an example. What does Magic Johnson and the cast say about winning time? They say they don't want nothing to do with it because it's greatly exaggerated, right? But there's still some factual basics there that it's based on. So I'm okay with that, because to me, that's kind of like the WWE. None of the shit they do in the ring is real, other than actually lifting and falling and performing the stunts. But they're not mad at each other. Most of those people are friends, and they're selling a story, and I'm good with that. But anything more than that, like wizards and warlocks and fucking spells, and you know what? I'll end it with this. I was just having this conversation with Tip Dog. I'm at a point in my life. I don't know what's right for you and your life, okay? Because this might not be right for D.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be right for Luis. Might not be right for Stickman.
Carl Reinhart.
Might not be right for
Reinhart.
Callen. For Reinhart, right? Maybe not Funky Monkey.
Andrew Fournier.
Lisa Paragio.
Will Morehouse.
Keto 5-0.
Ismael Chavez.
Jason in Tampa.
Joey in Texas.
I am Key.
Mike Durbin. I'm fucking, I think
Tim with no cell service.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
What was the other guy's name? Alan Silverstein. Jason.
Nathan. Nathan, like Stein or some shit. Salesman or some shit.
Silverman. But for me, in my personal view, I don't even want to watch shit with demons. Anything more than mild ghosts. I'm not watching Paranormal Activity no more, bro.
Mild ghosts.
I don't watch fucking well, Casper. I'm good. You want to show reruns of Casper? I'm cool with that. It's you know, analogy. I'll watch Alf. Alf is cool. I like Alf like Rich. I'm not like Rich likes Alf, but I like Alf. I'm down with some Alf. But like, I'm not watching Demons. I'm not watching Possession shit. Like, none of those categories fall into me in any genre that I like to. I don't need none of that shit in my life anymore, bro.
Dog, I have a quick interruption before I forget my thought. You remember? I doubt you do. The general you, the people watching this, listening to this. There was a show that I feel was like a bootleg version of Elf, and it was called Unhappily Ever After in the 90s. It was with a chick named Nikki Cox, a redhead that was like this hot chick.
Don't mind me, I'm looking it up.
It was called Unhappily Ever After. And what the show was, it was like a dirty version.
All I put in was Unhappily and it came up.
So it was a sitcom about a family. It was Nikki Cox, the hot fucking redhead. I think Kevin Conley probably was the brother. And then they had a stuffed bunny that was like, that would talk and shit, but it was like dirty. So it was like a raunchy Elf.
Like Ted or what? That's Ted before Ted?
Yeah, basically, Doug. Basically. And it's funny because I haven't thought about that shit in fucking 25 years.
I got loaded with him.
Oh yeah, but yeah, I think part of that is just, you know, it's weird though, because like, if I'm kind of like, when it comes to things like the WWF and shit, and I know I mentioned this before, but I'm like paralyzed in those years in my head, because like, I right now, if I turn on the WWE and I'm like watching it, I'm like, man, this is bullshit. How could people still like this shit? This is fucking stupid, right? But then you put in Undertaker and Mankind, Hell in a Cell. I'll be watching that shit, dog, eating my Cheerios. Like, it's fucking, like, I'm 8 years old all over again. Like, I'm 10 years old.
I got an explanation and a reason and an understanding, because I'm with you on that.
Okay.
The shit that was acceptable bullshit to you at a time in your life when it was acceptable to watch the bullshit, it's still acceptable to you because it's taking you back to that time. But I don't want to tolerate anybody's bullshit in any other aspect of life today. The shit I've already accepted is in the data bank, right? I'm good on that.
That's
okay?
good.
Yeah. But I don't want to deal with it, because how do you turn it off? Most people who accept certain bullshit in their life open themselves up to way more bullshit. And I'm kind of like Covino. Remember when Covino used to say, I don't take kindly to strangers?
Yeah.
He might now, but I still don't, okay? And I don't open myself up to get burned. I just don't. And you can call it what you want. It's probably not a great quality, but I don't like bullshitters. I don't like dealing with bullshit. I don't like consuming bullshit.
I feel you.
I don't want bullshit food. I don't need the best of the best. But if fucking Tony's on the corner is going to suck, can I at least go to Red Robin or even McDonald's? Because my shit's the same there. But I don't want bullshit. If the burger sucks, I don't want you to bullshit me. Wow, they're a small business owner. Well, get your shit straight and then open a business, right? I don't want bullshit.
Yeah, you know what? It reminds me of like when your uncle touches you when you're like 7 and they say like you mentally
never
stop growing.
That happen.
Oh, you haven't? But they say you mentally stop growing. Like, there's certain aspects of your it's like your fucking brain that stop developing at a certain age when shit like that happens to you. So it's like, I feel like there's like, it's very true with things that aren't as traumatic, like shit that you just dug when you were a kid, you know?
Bro, if we're watching WrestleMania, what is it, 3? And the Hulkster comes out and he rips off his shirt. And he goes and picks up that stinky, big, no good giant. And he lifts him up, bro. I'm going to be, hey, fucker, look at this. Look, he's picking him up. I'm okay with that. That's my childhood and my youth. And it's okay now because it was okay then. And I'm just, you know what? It's healthy for your inner child to come out from time to time. That doesn't mean because it was acceptable when I was 10. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't need to be, it's not acceptable. New shit like that when The Rock and fucking whatever are playing grab ass doesn't fucking work the same for me at this age that did then.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because the reason why I know now, I'm like, the reason why that shit is still like my shit is because a lot of that shit creeps into my TikTok algorithm. You know, when that's gotta be like the fucking wrestling fan from the 90s Attitude era will remember this. Vince McMahon, when Undertaker's brother makes a debut, I think he was at the first Hell in a Cell with Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, and Undertaker's right there, and fucking it goes dark, and then Kane walks out, right? Fucking, and then Vince McMahon, that's gotta be Kane. Oh man, dog. I watched that shit on my TikTok algorithm, and I'm like, oh fuck, I'm reliving it all over again, dog. So that shit sneaks into my algorithm, and I'm like, fuck yeah.
And then let's also be real too. You know what else fucking kind of killed it? And where the WWE, in my opinion, this is where they lost me. Like, even as like a grown man boy, when I still tried to watch it or whatnot, dude, when your main dude, Brock Lesnar, tries to go to UFC and then he gets his ass whooped, it really shows that your shit is fake. Like, he
Brock
might be
Lesnar, he
badass.
didn't really get his ass whooped though. He was a
I mean,
champion
yes,
at one point.
he's 5-3, bro. He definitely didn't go over there and dominate.
I mean, he's a fucking crazy ass athlete though. He's fucking gigantic.
But my point is, you might be the best at the fake shit, but no one ever considers you the best of all time, or did you leave a big enough impact on real shit to be considered the greatest in the real shit? You might be the greatest on fucking Broadway, but can you sell fucking $100 fucking million worth of movies?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, it didn't translate. He didn't dominate the UFC. Like, they pumped him up. There was hype. He had five victories. Yeah, he's a big dude, but if he was that badass, he would have stayed and fucking made a name for himself. No,
Well, I
people don't look at him in the same light they look at Johnny Bones Jones. Tell you that much.
yeah, of course not, but I just feel like to be the champion in the fucking heavyweight division, I just feel like, fuck, man, that's an accomplishment. Just like
I didn't
fucking,
say he didn't have an accomplishment. I'm saying his status and what he's remembered for in the UFC is far outweighed by anything he's ever done in the WWE.
see, and the only reason why I'm disagreeing is only because my ignorance in the WWE, because I don't even know what the fuck he did in
I
the
don't either, but I know what
WWE.
I think of him as a UFC fighter, and I'm having to assume and he gets more love over there because I promise to God, if you know any fighters and had the conversation about the GOAT with anybody, including probably yourself, if I'm wrong, call me out. His name don't come up.
No, of course not. But I'm just saying
So,
he.
would he not be considered one of the greatest WWE characters of all time? He
I don't
should
know
know
because
that without even watching it.
I don't know. I
Let's
mean,
ask
is he?
Google. Who's the top 10 most famous WWE wrestlers of all time?
Here's an answer from reference.com. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Undertaker, John Cena, Batista, Eddie Guerrero.
Are a few, so let's click on it and see who the rest are. I would think Brock Lesnar's up there. No, maybe he's not even good at that. I don't know. Come on. I'm giving him too much. No, he's not on there, bro. Sorry, my bad. I take all that back. He's not even great at WWE.
Maybe he's not even good at that, you said. I don't know.
He's
And you know
like,
what?
hey, bro, he's like Richard Dent of the Bears. Like, he was an important part, but you know, he wasn't the fridge, and he wasn't Jim McMahon, and he wasn't fucking Willie Gault. He wasn't Walter Payton.
What does Big Steve say, Doug? I ain't kissing nobody's ass, right?
He's busting my balls.
So there's somebody that is, I like them. I'm
Tommy?
not, they're a cool person, but they are a huge fucking kiss ass, right? And it makes me
Okay.
laugh because when I see them kissing ass, I'm like, in my head, I'm going, I ain't kissing nobody's ass. You know, I always,
You don't ever walk by fucking. You know what we used to do at the grocery store?
what?
The morning checker used to fucking 6 a.m. checker used to kiss ass all the time. And you know what we used to do?
What?
Leave fucking paper towels and fucking soap on there to clean their nose off. We leave go bags. They would just come in and on their check stand would be paper towels and fucking soap.
Yeah, no, and I was thinking about that. I was like, damn, I was like, I see the way things work and I see the way people get certain treatment and shit. And I'm like, good for them. They're playing the game, right? But I'm like, fuck
Have
that.
to, bro.
I'm like, I ain't kissing nobody's ass.
I've climbed my way up through four different corporations. Wait.
Kissing ass.
five different corporations. No, but you have to. No, absolutely not. Anybody who's listening right now, who's ever worked with me, they know I get down and they know I'm not scared to get down. I don't fucking hide when it's time to get down. I'm the guy in the force with you. Let's get this shit over with and get done. And we all shine together. That's the kind of leader I was. But with that being said, you absolutely have to play the game. If you could be I've seen the hardest workers out there, the best and overqualified for positions, or just qualified, the best qualified for a position, and them not get it because the manager doesn't like them because they don't play the manager's game. And they don't have to play the manager's game at a store level because they do everything asked of them and they do it really well. But because they made it somewhat personal, they'll never really get that promotion or whatnot. I've seen people who sucked on the production side of grocery rise to the fucking top. There, you motherfuckers know who you are. You're out there right now. I could name drop four or five motherfuckers that I know that don't deserve shit because they didn't work for it. But then there's also, I can name 10 more that do. And so, but the key, and then I can name 10 to 20 that should be there and they're not because they didn't play the game. You have to have a balance of playing the game and because you still got to produce. So the production's more important. But if you don't know how to at least play the game a little bit, you're absolutely 110. Trust me, dude. I've been in five different corporations. I've had these conversations with district supervision who gives the green light on hiring. A lot of reason that's why people don't get hired.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the personality part of it.
But
I feel like we've got to deal with you now. You are part of our management team. You're just not a part of that team. You're part of the upper management team. And if I don't feel like I can get along with you 40 hours a week, why the fuck would I want you working next to me? And if I don't feel like you get along with others, I probably don't feel like you could be a positive influence on others. And regardless of your production or output or your knowledge of the system, if I don't think you're buying into the team and you're going to be about team, I'm going to choose the person that's next qualified that will.
I feel you 100%. And a lot of times what I'll do is even on interview committees and shit, right? I look for that. Who the fuck are you going to want to spend? Like, I agree with you 100%. Are you going to want to spend fucking 40 plus hours a week with, right? I 100%. One of the last people that we hired, that was part of it, was she had that she and been working with her for like 9 months. She's been fucking like exactly how we anticipated, right? But I feel like there's a difference between playing the game, making sure you're liked and shit and things like that.
I didn't say that.
Just straight up kissing ass.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Nothing you do has to make sure that you're liked. Nothing. You don't have to be liked. Because usually the people that play the game and rise to the top, they're not liked by everybody else because everybody else can see through the bullshit and they know how they got there.
Yeah.
Because they don't respect them. You have to do enough to be respected and you have to give in on things you don't want to do that your team lead or your supervisor asks you to do. You think I ever wanted to work 13, 14 straight days, bro? You think I ever wanted to work all 24 hours in the same fucking week? That's what I mean. No. And you have to be pleasant. You can't act like because you did those things, the company owes you a favor. Like mm-hmm. These are the sacrifices you were asked to make that in a lot of cases are a test to see if you're willing to do what's necessary to help us win. And are you willing to do whatever the fuck is asked of you, sometimes unrealistically, to help our team win and accomplish its goals and be the best version of itself possible? Because sometimes that shit takes fucking sacrifice.
But see, I see when people are kissing ass, and that's when different. I'm like, that's different. I'm like, so when I see people doing that.
What you just said is playing the game. You're doing shit. You're going above and beyond you have a deadline. You don't want to be the reason they fail. You're doing whatever's asked and whatever's necessary. You know how many times I stayed 24 hours because we weren't ready for inventory? Or fucking you go in at fucking 1 to help out with inventory and you don't leave till fucking 2 or 3 the next afternoon because I got to recount this aisle. And how come it was an $8,000 end cap last fucking 3 months ago and now it's only $800? Well, it was Christmas, motherfucker. Those spice jars are about $9 each, and there's about 1,000 of them on there. And now it's fucking 35 boxes of $3 cereal. But those are the things you got to walk through. And so what you described as playing, in my opinion, I've seen people, and I've had it myself, they have success doing that. Playing the game, not bitching about it.
In the words of Big Steve, You can play the game, just don't kiss nobody's ass.
Don't kiss nobody's ass.
I gotta go after show, but later episode number. Fuck, I forget where we're at right now. Don't kiss nobody's ass. Do you have anything before we bounce?
Nah, man. Hey, good wrapping out with you. Hope the people loved it. We'd love some feedback. Give us some more shit to talk about. Sometimes we don't got a lot to talk about. So if we're full of shit, you disagree with me on anything, or you know, you didn't like Deep wearing his hat backwards, let us know.
Yeah, go ahead. Let us know in the fucking comments. If you like this, make sure you follow us, you subscribe, you do all that shit, whatever, wherever you're listening to this. It helps us out. It helps you guys out because you guys get more content. We appreciate it.
Matter of fact, I got two things to say.
What up?
I want to go on a mission to try to lure one of the ex-Carls back to being a Carl, and I'll supply the show. We'll pay for the membership. Let's see if we can't reach out to the dirt bands and the people that don't listen anymore. And since Sassy Spot has kind of not been as sassy, maybe they can join for a month and come back to the team.
So you heard it here. The after show, but later, will sponsor a free membership for a month. Hopefully they come back. They see, you know, things maybe are the same in good ways and aren't the same in other good ways that maybe weren't the same for a while. Come and maybe they'll enjoy Covino and Rich again. So the after show, but later, is going to sponsor a free month subscription.
Patreon.
So we'll figure out how we're going to get all that sorted and how we're going to choose somebody. So maybe we'll throw a list of names into the wheel of names and shit one day and do it.
Yeah. Well, because then, you know, worst case scenario, if they're not back on full with the Patreon, because it kind of whatever questions values here and there, if they're sports people, maybe they can just go to the overpromised and maybe to start listening to one of them again. If we can get one viewer back, one more view a week, and grocery, we called that one more item in the basket. If we can get one more viewer in the basket or one more listener, that's a win for CNR.
One more for CNR for the after show, but later. My name is D. This is El Kakui. We will see you guys in the next episode. Thanks for listening. Now buckle up your seats and prepare for the journey. Let the music ease your soul. Grab a spliff and start burning. Relax with us and take a trip to the heavens and come and spend a day in the 757.